Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You are here. This is an audio dot on the map of the universe, which means that you are standing on the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 251. It's Doctor Who weekend. We're in full effect if you're listening to this, and it's August 31st. Katie, how many people do you think listen to the podcast the day it comes out?
I hope all of them.
Well, that's a nice dream.
At least half of them.
But we know it doesn't. What was that accent? Half of them?
I don't know what that was.
What happened? What happened?
I have no idea. But at least half of them. Okay. There, I said it normal that time.
Are you an alien disguised
yes.
as a human?
Yes.
Are you going to make farty sounds like the Slitheen? Which is appropriate because it's Doctor Who weekend on the Nerdist channel. The point is, this shit lives on the internet forever, so even if it's not August 31st, you can still go over and watch it, youtube.com/Nerdist, and subscribe. Tons of Doctor Who programming, including Doctor Who bowling, Dork Fork, Doctor Who cooking, Q&A with Matt Smith and Karen Gillan and Caroline Skinner, and then Doctor Who cosplay on Gallifrey 1. youtube.com/Nerdist, go over there and click subscribe. It will greatly support our endeavors to bring you free, fun programming. This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by, let's say Amazon.com. If you go to this podcast post page and you click on the banner at the bottom of the page and then shop as you normally would, you will be supporting the Nerdist Podcast. We will be shopping vicariously through you. So buy some good stuff. Some personal massagers, if you will, for personal massaging. You know, if your back is tight or your legs are tight after a workout or you need to have an orgasm, any of those things might do the trick for you. You don't have to buy a personal massager. I'm just saying you could, and then we would profit from that. I'm saying I want to set up a system where we profit from your orgasms. Is that okay? Is there anything wrong with that, Katie?
No.
Thank you for...
They'll be supporting us.
Thank you for supporting my crazed view of what the world should be. This episode is a fun, hostful episode that we do our best to get together to do these hostful episodes, but, you know, our work schedules, me, Matt, and Jonah, it's just been, I know that was poor grammar, but it's been tough lately, but I'm going to be in town more often in the coming weeks, and so you will be hearing more hostfuls. We do it when we can. It's always our intention to do them. So here we go, episode number 251, Hostful Goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
It just sounds like any other one of those. Why is it thicker than...
Open Gangnam Style!
Gangnam Style! I guess it's like a sensation.
Is it, what language?
Korean. You guys grooving on this?
No.
Fine grooving.
I think this sounds like any other thing. It's just that the reason people like it so much is because it's in Korean.
Maybe.
It's like the Macarena. Like, everyone was just like, the Macarena. But if it was just some guys, some two old white dudes going, like,
you gotta
hey,
see the
everybody
video.
Come and do the Macarena, you know, no one would have liked it.
You gotta see the video.
Is it about the video?
Yeah.
Kyle, we're recording now.
Hey! So here's the best part.
Open Gangnam Style.
Come on.
No, I think I've heard that many times before, but guys, with an English-speaking person behind it.
I think I might like K-pop. I'm just saying.
K-pop.
Sounds like a great station.
J-pop is better.
K-pop right. Forever!
J-pop? What is J-pop?
It's like Jewish Japanese pop.
Oh.
Jewish pop! Yeah. I think Jewish pop is just pop.
Yeah, you know, kosher soda.
Yeah.
Hebrew, the chosen beer.
Hebrew is a good beer.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember if I ever drank it or not. Probably.
Yeah, I think it was around, right?
It was around back in those days.
Yeah.
Back in those days.
Back in those days.
Back in the early aughts.
Back in the days when you were drunk or not drunk anymore, but sometimes I wish you were drunk again.
Sometimes, Jonah?
No. Only sometimes, really. You weren't there, man.
It's now one of those times.
You weren't there.
What are you talking about? I used to make you drive through Jack in the Box at like 3 o'clock in the morning because you were a kid and I knew you'd do it.
And I remember driving home from that. You have to take Chris home. Okay. Where does he live? Like down the street? No, he lives in Westwood. Oh, I live in San Pedro. And then just like looking at my gas gauge.
Whose fault was that for living in San Pedro?
That was mine. That was mine. But I remember being so scared. Just like my eyes were barely on the road going down the 110. Just like I was waiting for my car to just.
You're fine.
Yeah. Volkswagen bug.
Drive through the.
It was so out of the way. It was like way down on La Cienega or something. I can't remember.
What, the Jack in the Box?
Yeah.
It was at Santa Monica Boulevard and Veteran.
Oh, right before the Tesla dealership. Like right around there, right?
And because I lived in Westwood because naturally.
Westwood Village.
Westwood Village because that's where a 29, 30 year old person should live around all the college kids.
What was that?
Who can't let it go?
What was that that Irish pub?
Madison's. Well, there was Madison's, and then there was Maloney's. Those were the two.
Like, what's the one that had like it was like two levels or
Madison's?
Like a parking. Yeah, I remember we were there once, and we were all talking about the DC sniper.
What?
Because it was happening at that time, where it was like, they're saying it's two people. Oh, this and that.
Oh, right. The guy who was just
time frame.
The guy who was picking people off on the freeway, right?
Yeah, and it turned out to be the father and son.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I totally forgot about that. I forgot about a lot of stuff that happened.
Yeah.
Not just about that, but just like whole swaths of time.
Your son you never met.
What?
Yeah.
No. No.
Named after your brother, Peter.
Peter Hardwick. See, Peter is dead, Jonah.
Yeah,
that shoe you woke up after you fucked.
I was
that
there.
That shoe gave birth to a baby.
I believe that was at Riley Newton's place.
What was?
The shoe. Was that?
No, that was at my place.
It wasn't? I remember you falling asleep on the floor of Riley Newton's place.
It's not that I necessarily had sex with a shoe. I just, my clothes were off and I had rolled over and, you know, part of my, I'm a shower. And so part of the stalk was gingerly nestled inside the cup of the shoe.
Yeah.
Part of the stock gingerly nestled inside the
art. It sounds art, so nice when you say it that way, right?
Get that down.
No, I already had a shoe fucking bit. I'm not going to have another one.
But,
Hardwick, he's that shoe fucking guy, right?
No, stop it. It was one bit. That's his Hot Pockets.
I do remember
shoe
you.
Shoe fuckers.
I'm loving
Nike
it.
Nike sent the giant shoe.
I'm loving it. He has a whole bit about McDonald's. McDonald's is crazy.
Jonah Ray.
I'm loving it. Why is he saying that? I did Jonah a show. In the Pico Union District this weekend.
Keeping it real.
It was like a Venice Boulevard and Union, right off the 10 freeway. It was a crazy area. It's one of those areas you're driving around, you're like, man, LA goes everywhere and people are living in all parts of it. Yeah. But it was at this kind of like community center that had like kind of a skate area and an area for kids to do graffiti. Like they're allowed to go and do graffiti there. Alex Hooper, who's a very funny comic, it's his show. It's called A Long Way Down, and it was just—it's weird. Like,
I'm just assuming
the stage is like has pieces like these. It's like very temple. What was that temple game show thing? That
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
It looks like the set of Legends of the Hidden Temple.
And so it's like the Shrine of the Silver Monkey.
Tales of the Brass Monkey. Tales of the Brass Monkey?
No, the Shrine of the Silver Monkey was one of the rooms in the temple.
Tales of the Golden Monkey? Mm.
I did a show there.
Outside?
It was outside. And it actually, it was a fun show. The crowd was really good.
Mm-hmm. What night was that?
It was on Saturday night. It was interesting though, just doing, you know, sirens going by, yeah, really loud cars, so the hum of the freeway. We don't have your headphones.
What?
So we
can't
hear what you're saying. We have no idea.
What is what?
It's not fun.
I
for
wasn't
us.
Saying anything.
It's not for us.
Midnight train to Georgia.
I want
to
hear about your. I want to hear about your Golden Monkey show.
It wasn't at the Golden Monkey.
Okay.
There's no monkey.
I'm sorry. Could you start over?
I'd rather not. It's like an inside joke between you and everyone that's listening to this afterwards.
That's a pretty big audience, though.
It is.
So
it is. I don't
consider that.
It feels like there should be no secrets between sailors, and you're being kind of.
We're not on a boat, and a wise Spock once said, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the Jonah Ray."
Yeah, and Spock's fake on top of the no boat situation. So,
well, not in that documentary I saw, where he died and came to life on another planet,
which is the whole basis of the movie Galaxy Quest, where they thought they were documentaries and not. Actual movies.
Great movie. Galaxy Quest is a great movie.
Galaxy Quest is a great movie.
Still holds up.
Yep.
Fucking still holds up. How was the show, by the way?
It was a great show. A lot of fun. Sean O'Connor. Always great to see him. He's great.
He said it was a great show while you were talking on
it was. It was a good show. Michelle Buteau, who's always a delight to see, was on it. The weird thing is, like, every time they brought you up, they had some guy off to the next to the DJ that would start kind of rap singing your name. Like
similar to like when a stripper comes up,
like he just like so it's like please DJ. Welcome Jonah Ray, and then he would be off just like go no Ray, like a fucking, well, there was like dubstep playing,
sounds,
oh wow,
it was odd.
Bringing up comedians to dubstep is an interesting choice, but it's energetic.
And there was a huge mural of creepy era Michael Jackson that you're staring at, like
creepy,
it's on the side
era?
Of.
Just so like Lisa Marie Presley era?
No, like the end times.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I was just talking about, like, I was like, oh, what should the, this what mural, era, what era of Michael Jackson time? Should we put up? The one where he's like really fun and like Thriller or Off the Wall? No. How about the one that gives people nightmares?
The saddest time.
The saddest time, yeah. But it was a fun show. And then I went home and I watched Juan of the Dead.
How is Juan of the Dead? I wanted to ask you about that.
It's I liked it. It's like, you know, as far as, you know, kind of low budgety, I mean, it's not low budget because I think it was funded by Cuba. But it was, I think the whole story of just the movie itself is what makes it actually pretty good, because it's like, how rare is it that you get to see a movie that's from Cuba and that is, you know, shot there and from there and, you know,
yeah.
I don't think really anywhere is it.
I mean,
they always fake it, right?
Die Another Day is shot in Cuba.
Is
parts
it?
Of it? Parts of it,
yeah.
Because that was a British production, they can do that.
Yeah, but it was fun. But it wasn't the best movie, but it was really fun to watch, and really a lot of funny parts, some cool zombie ideas in there, and there was even a nod to Dead Alive, where one, a character says, "I kick ass for the Lord."
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah, you know, zombies underwater. It was cool just seeing, like, you know, Cuba.
What about a movie called Rubik's Cuba, where you have to twist the landmass around to form a different landmass?
Sounds like just a game.
Yeah, who's
as opposed to a movie?
What character in your movie would be twisting in the landmass?
I didn't think of it just past the title because I didn't think that's I'd need any more to pitch it. Okay. I thought I would just sell it based on the awesome title, well, Rubik's Cuba.
It's a good title, but I think there needs to be something else happening.
This is probably why I haven't made a movie yet.
Well,
yet
tomorrow.
Yet. Someday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Juan of the Dead. I mean, it's on demand. I'd say check it out. Some fun zombie stuff.
On demand? You mean I got to pay for that?
Yeah, but you can demand that they show it to you when you want to.
Tonight, I think I'm going to watch 2 Days in New York, which is the unofficial sequel to Judy Delpy's 2 Days in Paris.
Oh.
Unofficial sequel.
Unofficial?
Yeah, it's just like, I guess
there's
it's a
court
sequel.
System and there's a lot of paperwork has to be done.
I guess it's
to
a sequel, right?
Well, if she's in it, and it's a 2 days thing, and it's another city. Pretty good.
Same character.
Pretty close.
It's so interesting, though. Like that. Like that'll make it the second kind of sequel she's done, but, like, you know, 10 years apart.
Right. That's, you know, Delpy style.
Yeah. 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 Move. But Chris Rock is in it, and I'm looking forward to it. I really liked 2 Days in Paris.
I really thought you were going to say Lethal Weapon 4.
You did. Like, did you really think I was going to say that? That was like a thing you're like, it's like, you know, I think I know what he's going to say.
That was the last movie Chris Rock was good in.
I saw Underworld Awakening, which I don't recommend.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really get into any of the Underworld movies. Hold on really quick. Are you keeping out Chris Rock in Pootie Tang? He was hilarious in Pootie Tang.
Was Pootie Tang before? Wasn't that before?
No, it was not. Lethal Weapon 4 was in like 96?
No. 99.
Oh, I don't know if it was that late, Myra. I feel like it might have been a mid-90s.
Yeah, I believe it was mid-90s.
It felt much later to me. I really thought it was timeless.
You just said it wasn't good.
Lethal Weapon 4. No, that Lethal Weapon 4 is great in Lethal Weapon 4.
Internet movie database. Okay. Answer all my questions and I'll come on your face.
That's a weird slogan for them. Write that down, Kyle.
Please don't.
Yeah, we shouldn't.
Lethal Weapon 4. I'm on the Edge Network in here, so sometime in the afternoon I should have an answer.
I believe it was 95 or 6.
Maybe.
But Pootie Tang. But he was in, he was Pootie Tang's dad that got in that horrible accident at the factory, you know, where the gorilla came and beat him up.
98, Lethal Weapon
98.
4. Ah, okay.
What the diff?
You were closer to Matt.
Yeah.
I thought it was 96,
and
too.
What year did Pootie Tang come out? Maybe 2001, 2000? Anyway, now we're just talking about years of movies.
It's going to be another several minutes before I can answer your Pootie Tang related queries. Underworld 4 Awakening.
Yeah. Is that the third one or the fourth one?
It's technically the fourth one. They did, there was Underworld 1 and 2, and then 3 was kind of a prequel.
Yeah. Rise of the Lycans.
That did not have Kate Beckinsale in it.
That was Rise of the Lycans?
Rise of the Lycans. Which also was just okay.
No bueno?
Didn't pan
no
out.
No bueno.
Didn't pan out.
You know what the Resident Evil movies, as shitty as they are, those are something I kind of look forward to every time one comes out.
I interviewed the director and Mila Jovovich and Michelle Rodriguez at Comic-Con. Like I did, for some reason, G4 bought like a 20-minute sit-down interview with them, and I did it. And they were all really cool. Maybe I'll give your movie a chance.
Did you watch any of them?
No, I've never seen them.
Like the first two I don't think are very good, but they just kind of ramp up in ridiculousness as they go along, and it's just kind of fun. Yeah. You know, you're like, it's one of those movies where you're like, what? Come on. Like, that's what I was
getting. You can't do that.
Yeah, I was like, what? That's like, it's just like everything's so big, you know, like just the kind of stuff that happens.
I like that. I like when movies sort of just fucking go for it.
Yeah,
I'll watch that. I was flying back from New York. I went to Orlando for Star Wars Celebration for a couple days, and then went to New York just for Saturday
for the Who premiere.
For the Doctor Who premiere.
How was it?
It was great. Asylum of the Daleks, really fun. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, so ahead. I won't
who
say anything else. But
just spoil
the BBC.
No,
give a shit. Right. You want to keep working, right?
Doctor Who gives a shit.
Doctor Who gives a shit. Doctor Who gives a shit.
Doctor Who gives a shit.
But it was a crazy nerdy day for me on Saturday. In the morning, I interviewed George Lucas and then got on a plane and went and hosted the Doctor Who premiere. I was the craziest. Like, this is humble braggy, and I understand and I apologize, but it just was what it was. It was a fucking amazing and weird day. And by the end of it, like when I got back to my hotel room after the Who premiere, I was one of those weird, like, I can't believe this day.
And then you're just there by yourself.
I'm really depressed. Yeah. Like, I got weirdly depressed. Yeah. It's so weird. It's almost like, I mean,
the beard doesn't really distract.
It's like a mild form of postpartum depression, a mild form where it's like these really amazing things happen. And then all of a sudden you're just with yourself.
Alone in a hotel.
Chloe was in Seattle.
Howard Kramer always talks about that.
Yeah.
Where he's like, yo, you'll be like killing it in front of all these people, and you're the fucking like king, and then you just go back to your room.
It's like that Bon Jovi documentary where he's just like sitting in the back by himself, just sitting there.
Oh, yeah, and everyone else is like partying and stuff like that.
And he's just sitting there alone, and then he's like, "All right," and he goes out. It's like 50,000 screaming people, and they do the show, and then he just goes back, and he's just alone in the car. It's a very weird. I don't think human beings evolved to interact that way. Where it's just like we're super social, and then all of a sudden just alone with yourself to just deal with it. But
it's
it was
strange.
But I was I was angry and disappointed at myself. I'm like, no, this was a day that I would have dreamed of having, you know, but then just the end of the day, I was like,
Well, there's that fear of that moment is kind of what drives people to just like do that, to keep the party going. It's that thing where it's like, no, let's keep on hanging out.
Because
like,
you don't
like
want to fucking be with your thoughts and yourself.
Yeah, and you want to, like, it's like, and that's why, you know, I think for like people like that, cocaine is such a...
I would love some coke.
Well, it's just like, you know, it's like it gives you a chance to just keep on hanging out. And then you forget.
Some coke. So weekend. Earnest.
And you forget that, like, it gets dark again the next night. Yeah. And you can do it all over again.
No, like, this weekend I was alone all weekend pretty much. And just, like, I cleaned my apartment, like, top to bottom. And then I just sort of sat there and I was like, huh. Because I hadn't been home. I had not been... This is the first weekend since Comic-Con that I hadn't been in a hotel.
Yeah, no, I had that weekend. This weekend was great. I watched... I, like, did tons of laundry. I cleaned. I
got back to the Top to Doctor premiere, which was super fun, and we did a big Q&A, and, you know, like... and
okay.
Everyone, what?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And so I got back to the hotel, and I'm just kind of sitting there, and Chloe was in Seattle because it was a friend of hers... her friend Brian's birthday, and
whoa, she's at a dude's birthday.
Yo, you know, that's Chloe's interesting because she has a bunch of Xbox Live friends, some of which, why are you making that sour face?
Because you said Xbox Live friends.
You just instantly. They would, before I started dominating her time, they would hang out every night on Xbox Live just playing like Left 4 Dead or whatever.
Wow.
And so it was like there was a couple, like one, at least one or two people that she had been friends with for a couple years and never met in person. And they just met this weekend.
You can't use the word friends.
Yes, you can. Why does friendship have to be an in-person thing?
I just think it's more of like
you can still bond with people over the phone.
Well, say you're, you know, you call them pen pals. You don't call them pen friends.
Xbox Live friends.
Pals.
No. Xbox Live
pals.
Friends.
No.
Xbox Live
pals.
Friends. Xbox Live
pals.
Friends. If I say faster, it means it better. Nah, those words didn't come out.
If I say it
good.
Faster, it makes it better.
No, it means it better.
It means it better.
It means it better if it's faster.
That sounds like something like a kid that's hunched in a corner, like shaking back and forth. If I say it faster, it means it better. If I say it faster, it means it better. Ghosts go away.
Ghosts go away.
Burn it all, Charlie.
There's two horror movies coming out soon that look pretty good.
Go ahead. Which ones are they?
The Apparition. And Exorcism or something like that? The Exorcism?
I haven't seen... Oh, you're not talking about that one where the
girl looks in the mirror and then she has the fingers in the back of her head?
Oh, that's... that is... The Possession.
The Possession. That's what I meant. The Possession.
I was trying to remember.
Yeah, yeah.
With the guy, the actor who played the comedian, right?
Yeah.
From, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one is, I think that the other one, Apparition, is a Raimi produced.
Nice.
We were talking about this the other night. But like, it's like, it kind of has that idea of the skeleton key where this stuff only affects you if you believe in it.
Oh,
and
nice.
So it's it looks really creepy.
That's why Spock is real. Because I believe in him. Oh, first of all, Star Wars Celebration was fucking awesome. They had a giant Rancor monster.
What was the
and,
worst part about it?
Just the Florida heat.
Oh,
it's in Orlando.
God.
It was in Orlando, and so you'd go outside, and it would just like you'd instantly start sweating. And then the
Orlando
the worst thing. Part about Florida, and I lived in Florida. Uh-huh. So my mom's from Miami. And I lived in Florida for a couple years when I was a kid. It's bracing yourself when you're going indoors and you know I've just been in excruciatingly humid heat and I'm about to get fucking sideswiped by the coldest air I've ever felt.
That's great.
From the
it?
Air conditioning.
Isn't it great?
But other than that, they had a giant Rancor monster and they had like R2 races and dioramas. And
I saw the building that.
Oh, that was fucking rad. And then Think Geek had a bunch of awesome stuff there. I got an Optimus Prime Mimo Bot, 64 gig.
Optimus Prime is not from the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, no, so I know, but he's a Mimo Bot.
So then it's just Comic-Con.
Well, there was an element of that. I bought a stack of patches. I don't know why I always buy patches. I have drawers of patches that I will never put on anything.
I'm just imagining now you have a drawer of puppies you've named Patches.
Come on, guys.
They're all dead.
Daddy's trying to masturbate. Your puppy squeals are ruining it. Daddy can't come if you're hungry.
Mm.
So anyway, Star Wars Celebration was super fun, and shot a bunch of stuff for StarWars.com.
What patches did you purchase?
I got a Venkman name patch. I got an app.
Man, this seems like Comic-Con, Jonah.
I know. Hang on. I got an Aperture Labs patch. I got a Boba Fett patch. I got a Boba Fett patch.
Okay.
I got a bunch of Doctor Who stuff. I got a Banzai Institute patch.
Still not a thing.
I know.
That's from Karate Kid, right?
Yeah.
The Banzai Institute of Haya.
Yeah. T-shirt. Make a T-shirt. I'm not gonna jinx it, but that should be the name of the episode: The Banzai Institute of Haya.
It should be Gangnam Style.
No.
The Banzai Institute. The Banzai Institute.
Haya. I want to have the episode name. I am conceding here.
If you're Asian, please don't be offended and attack Jonah.
How is that?
No, it was the earlier joke.
That's what they watch on orientation day to get everyone acclimated. Is Underworld?
Jonah, it's Asiantation Day. Asiantation Day. Let's be politically correct.
Well, thanks for joining in.
God damn it! So, Star Wars Celebration, great. Go back to the hotel after Doctor Who premiere. I get weirdly depressed. I'm talking to Chloe on the phone. She was like, you know what? She goes, have you eaten dinner? I go, no. She goes, go out and get, we love this place called Artichoke Pizza in New York. Mm-hmm. Fucking awesome. They make a great artichoke
There's
pizza.
There's like two Gordon Ramsay restaurants in New York. You could have, whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, late at night, you could have just hopped into a Gordon Ramsay restaurant unannounced and gotten a table. It would have been the easiest thing. Matt could have tweeted him for you, got you a table.
I could have got you a table.
Oh, well, next time. But the saddest part and coolest part was that the BBC basically just gave me I had a driver.
Oh, nice.
Until midnight and nowhere to go.
Your driver disappears at midnight.
I love the idea, though, that you're still trying to get back to the hotel. And he's like, sorry, buddy, get out. Midnight.
And then it just turns. I was back in my hotel room at 8 p.m. I'm like, well, I guess just wait outside.
Nobody went partying?
No. Well, I didn't. Maybe they did.
They party.
They went. I think they went to. They all went to have a party, but I didn't invite myself, and no one asked me to go. And Matt had his parents there, and I just didn't want to. Like, it was their thing, and I just felt bad intruding on it. You know. So I went back. So I went to the hotel, and so I was like, "Damn it, I'm gonna go." By the way, huge luxury problem. Oh, my driver's out front. I don't have any place to go. Yeah. But it is weird when you feel like I'm depressed and I just want to get out of my hotel room. And there's a guy who'll take me anywhere in the city, and I don't know where that is.
Yeah. Would you take you to Hoboken, or would that be no?
I probably would have taken me to Hoboken. Yeah. So Chloe said, "Go to Artichoke Pizza and get pizza." I'm like, "God damn it, you're right. I'm gonna do it." So we go to Artichoke Pizza on the Lower East Side.
Did you buy pizza for the driver?
I did. I offered. He didn't want it.
Mm.
I always offer, and they always say no. But
one of these days, you're not going to have enough money somehow.
Oh God,
the guy's going to say yes.
Don't say that. credit card. So I'm standing in line at Artichoke Pizza, and it's like it's just a little pizza shack, and it spills out onto the sidewalk. And basically, a couple that I'm sure was crafted by the Stereotype Institute was right behind me. Just the fucking like. Jersey Shore, like, hey, guy, like, blobby, just fucking gross, drunk couple. They were both just, like, patchy and pale.
At 8 p.m.?
No, this time it's, like, 9. But they were fucking hammered, like, sideways cap guy, like, I fucking love you too, baby. Just like that shit.
Saturday, so they're probably drinking all day.
And so, and she was texting on her phone and kept, like, smacking into me, but, you know, because she was so wobbly.
Yeah.
I mean, just gross. Just gross, gross, gross. And then so they exchanged their I fucking love yous so much. And, I mean, literally, you think I'm doing a characterization, like, a caricature, and that is, but it's exactly how they're, you know, fucking sideways Yankees cap.
Yeah.
So she went and sat down on a bench.
Where do you buy the caps that go sideways?
I think.
Because I only see them when they go forward.
It's right. I think if you buy the DVD of the movie Sideways, they send you the sideways
the kind
cap.
That fits on your head and sideways. Okay, cool. Because I never see him in
Paul
stores.
Paul Giamatti actually delivers it.
Yeah.
There you go.
What the fuck was that?
That's a Paul Giamatti.
As a goblin?
Yeah, sure. right?
Kind of ugly. It's more of a Paul Giannotti, Matt. Because it's not Paul Giannotti.
Being Paul Giannotti.
Again. Let me just pee on your neck.
I just thought to myself, have we had him on the show?
Abigail, let me pee on your neck. I'm John Adams.
Is he a Paul Giamatti or a Paul Giannotti?
You fucking cock. You're in the E building. You have to say things like that.
Pitch that to your show.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, this fucking guy, and you know, listen, I'm not physical in any way. I've never been in a fight, nor do I ever wish to be in a fight.
But he loves hugs.
But I kind of like, I sort of snarked off in a way where I was like, oh, I don't know if this is a really smart thing to be doing. But the guy, his dipshit girlfriend went and sat down, just with her face in her texts, and he jumped like three people ahead of the line. And he basically, he convinced the people in front of, like, three people in front, and this is a huge line, to let him cut if he bought them a slice of pizza. It was just such a I know.
Oh, hey, listen.
Dude, I've done similar things where it's like, I'm like, oh, God, I really
But I snarked
so
off
hungry.
Because I was like, oh, are you just going to let that guy cut in front of you? And they were like, oh, he's going to buy our pizza. And I'm like, well, and loud enough so you could hear, I was like, well, I think you should probably have to pay for everyone's pizza with that shit. And then he just turned around, and at that moment, it really could have turned into anything, because he was drunk and his girlfriend was there, and obviously he probably would have
you're
to
so good at boxing.
Beat his chest. I can punch, but probably not when someone is throwing punches at me. If they're still, I can hit them really hard. I know how to use the hip. I know how to get in there. I don't know how to get out of the way or not get hit in the face or take a punch or not be like, why'd you hit me? So
easy. What's that? And then you point over their shoulder.
What in the world can that be? Godzilla.
Is that Derek Jeter?
Snooki's giving birth. What? I got a what? Bam. And so but all he said to me was like, sorry, bro, the line cut off right here. Like right behind the two girls who were in front of me.
Oh, and they were girls.
Yeah, they were two girls.
Oh.
Yeah. So he fucking bought their pizza and he got the pizza. It's just fucking irritating. They were irritating people and it was an irritating thing to do.
Yeah. That's
if they were charming, I would have been charmed by that move.
Yeah.
But just like doughy shithead sideways cap.
So that brings us to about 9:30, 9:45. Then where'd you take the driver?
We went back to the hotel. I took the pizza back to the hotel in my room. I stayed at the Bowery Hotel, and my room had a really huge, like the same size as the room, balcony.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's cool.
And so I sat out on the balcony, and I was so lonely, I made friends with a mouse who was running around the deck.
Chris, you could have called either of us.
No, wait.
Also, this is New York. I'm sure you have a handful of people you can call comedians that are out late. And maybe at a show. Did you look up any shows going on?
Well, I didn't think I could bring Ephraim to any of those shows.
Ephraim the retarded rabbit?
No, Ephraim was the mouse that I became friends with. And so I sat...
Flowers for Hardwick.
Flowers for Al-Anon.
I've never heard that. That's great.
Oh, thanks. And so I sat on this balcony just shoving a piece of artichoke branded pizza in my mouth, which was delicious. It was a really beautiful night. And then this mouse, all the lights were out on the balcony. So it's even worse. I'm sitting in darkness on the balcony, shoving pizza into my lonely mouth. And this mouse is running around outside and he doesn't see me, I guess, because his eyesight might not be great. And, we get that little guy some glasses. And so I basically just started throwing him pizza cheese. And I tried to capture it on video and take pictures of it, but little guy was too fast.
Wow. That just made it sadder.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you were trying to shoot it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oof.
Yep.
Wow.
So that was my, but then I finished the pizza and I went downstairs. So I'm like, well, I'm done with this. Now I guess I'll just go down to the lobby and get some tea. I watched the rest of Underworld Awakening, and I ran into the lobby lounge, and I ran into Kimmel, and we had a fucking great great chat. I think he's just there on
Did
vacation.
He say if I have to do your podcast, I can do everybody's podcast.
No, he said I'd love to do your podcast, so he's going to come on.
Nice.
So, but it ended up being a fun like it was just, but it's so funny that, again, you know, and I want, the reason that I'm telling this story and conveying this to people is because, you know, you have this idea in your head of like, oh, if this one thing could just happen, or if I could just get this, or if I could make that happen, then everything is going to be solved. And then you get that thing, and then when it's over, you're still left with yourself.
Yeah.
And that's very hard for people sometimes because they think like, oh, yeah, it's just going to basically, now I've eaten the power pellet and the ghosts are going to be blue all the time.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
As great as I thought it might have been to be alone in my apartment, it's not that great.
So it ended up being kind of a nice night. But I, you know, I just had that weird moment of self-disappointment.
Yeah, that's not fun. yesterday, speaking of like fun disappointment stuff, I went to Cine Family for the Everything Is Festival. Schraub and Harmon were doing their Found Crap.
Yep.
And some of the stuff they showed was the most like cringe inducing, shitty, like, you know, found footage stuff. There was footage of this talent show that was being televised at a mall.
It's
a dad, this big dad with a mustache and his son, and he's going to sing the song, the birthday song he wrote for his son when the son was four, and the son's like probably looking like, you know, 8 or 9 now. And then so he's like on the stage going, the first part you might recognize, but after that it's my own little thing. Then he goes, Chad, oh shit. I mean, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Chad. Happy birthday to you. Oh, Chad. I think the kid's name was like, oh, Chad, I love you. And like, it's just like he's singing this birthday song. It's really incredibly sweet, but to this kid on stage in a mall that's being televised, and the kid is just not happy. He's fucking horrified.
Miserable.
And like, they keep on freezing it on the kid's face. And he's just like, everyone's fucking going crazy.
I'm so bummed I missed that.
And then Schraub pauses it and then brings up a clinical psychologist to talk about the ramifications of this moment. And the lady's like, yeah, the kid's fucked. The kid's fucked. The dad thinks he's doing a good thing by showing how much he loves, but like, he doesn't realize that it's fucking like going to affect
totally
his kid for public speaking, social situations. It's just like, it was going to run the gamut of this
ruin
kid.
The kid's confidence because everyone's going to know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's real bad. Yeah, it was such a fun show. It was so fucking good. I want them to do it every week. And they showed some Paul Knopp stuff. You know Paul Knopp, the guy from Milwaukee?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he was a teacher, but he would make like either fetish films or just vampire movies. And so they showed both of his versions of Hot Tub, Holy Water. And it's just fucking...
Did we ever show that on Web Soup?
Any Paul Knopp stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so. It sounds maybe like we had, because there's so much of his stuff out there.
That's found footage stuff is maybe my favorite thing in the world.
It really is. I mean, like, I remember like back when it was just, you know, in the 90s where it was just the, hey,
yeah,
I have a video full of like weird shit. And then
like the first time I saw Winnebago Man, that was just like,
and it was always like, it would be like Winnebago Man, and then it would be like the lady hit by a train, and then it would be like, it would be a compilation of just a bunch of
and then R. Bud Dwyer shooting himself in the mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I never saw that deliberately. Never saw.
Yeah,
that.
I don't recommend it.
But then it would like it was just like it was compilation tapes, and there was even that Mr. Show sketch about it. Like, hey man, like the underground.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Like, underground. Like, yeah.
Me and my friends had that stuff, and then like and then there was TV Carnage, which was Derek Beckles' like thing, where he started actually kind of like cutting them together and making them kind of go back and forth
in college,
between stuff.
I went to the Found Footage Festival for the first time, which was they still do it. These two guys in New York.
Those guys.
And I saw it at the Coolidge in Brookline, and it was like, it was just like blew my mind. Like all this stuff existed in one place.
Yeah.
And then they I recommend if you. Can buy the you should buy the DVDs from the Found Footage guys. It's Found Footage Festival. I don't know what their website
or any of the old TV Carnage stuff.
But the what I liked about the Found Footage stuff was they would do sketches in and out of the video. And after seeing the video, it's so easy for them to just put up a sketch relating to that video. It just fucking would crack me up.
It's
and
so
then, like,
good.
In like the later years, they have like Chris Elliott in the sketches with them, and and just like, you know, it's great.
Yeah. It was fantastic. They would do stuff where it's like, they're like, all right, when you hear them say holy water, which is the big reveal of this like guy's vampire thing, that I want everyone to go ape shit. And then like, you know, it's like, ladies, that wasn't champagne. that was holy water. And then they just like, they cut to this like, like loud music and Steve Agee's face like flashing on the screen going like, and they all like, everyone's dancing and going crazy. It was so fun. It was so much fucking fun.
I'm sorry I missed that. That was the Cine Family?
That was the Cine Family for their Everything Is Festival. They've been having so many fucking awesome, great shows. Tuesday, the Pete and Pete reunion show with Polaris playing over at the old,
Oh man. Oh, the, I'm going to a screening of Sleepwalk With Me, I think, on Tuesday night.
Yeah. I think I'm going to Sleepwalk With Me this coming Monday. But yeah, cause there's this weekend's Fuck Yeah Fest.
All right, fine. I'm going to Tom Lennon and Ben Garant's Hell Baby. That movie is screening for friends. I'm going to see
what?
That on Tuesday.
What is that? What's that?
Hell Baby is what they just shot in New Orleans in May and June with Shear and Hubel, and Kumail's in it.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I heard it's really good. Kumail went to a screening a few weeks ago, so it was good. But like, no, I had to buy tickets for the screening I went to. I wasn't like dropping like, oh, I'm getting invited to this really fancy thing, which you just did.
I feel like he did.
I did.
I feel like that's what he did.
No,
that's
I bought,
what he did.
I bought tickets. That's I bought tickets
did.
To go see
I did not pay for tickets
I want
to
support
with me.
Mike Birbiglia.
No, I just, well, because we're podcasting with him the next day.
Yeah.
After that, so I want to see the movie
you're
first.
Doing research before a podcast? This is what is going on with you.
Well, maybe I'm just trying to take my job seriously is all.
Oh, now that he finally gets paid for it, he takes it seriously.
Technically, I don't get paid for the podcast.
I think apparently, they're going to start developing My Girlfriend's Boyfriend.
Oh, good.
Into it. Is that it? My Girlfriend's Boyfriend? My Boyfriend's Girlfriend? My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, yeah. I think they're going to start developing that into a movie.
Nice.
It's going to be good. Kind of like a, you know, it's got like a Woody Allen kind of game.
I like that for Bigley.
Aaron's in that one, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It was seeing him on a big screen.
It's going to be good. Oh, you know what I'm bummed about missing because of the Pete and Pete show is the Schraub is going to be hosting the Wayne White documentary.
Oh.
Like, what is that called? Beauty.
I saw the post for it last night.
Ugly is Beautiful or...
I forget.
But like Wayne White for those...
I think it is something. It is something like that. Yeah. Wayne White's the artist who did the... Pee-wee's Playhouse. And like he did the... He did the big time video for Peter Gabriel, just that kind of like.
If you've ever been to Fred 62 in Los Feliz, he's the guy that had all the words coming out of the paintings, like the
Yeah, he just has a very specific style that if you saw it, you'd be like, oh, that guy, and he does marionettes and paintings and all sorts of crazy. Like he's an artist in the truest sense of the word. Like he works in. He'll work in any kind of medium.
Yeah, and he's going to be doing a project, a big like kind of art installation thing with Joel Hodgson.
Oh my!
From Mystery Science Theater, God. They brought that up at the Joel Hodgson's Show and Tell at the Everything Is Festival.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I was when I was flying back from New York, the guy who was sitting in front and across the aisle was watching a music documentary, and I couldn't figure out what it was, but it looked fucking awesome, like a concert movie.
Hmm.
And I I'm eating and I look up and I see fucking Reggie Watts on stage, singing and jamming. And it was at Madison Square Garden. So it's like fucking.
Jeez.
However many people that holds. What is that? 25, 30,000?
It's probably about 20.
Okay. So it's jam packed. Reg's up there and this whole band. And then I figured out that it was LCD Sound System's and the concert movies, Shut Up and Play the Hits, I think.
I think so.
But it looked. What?
No, I just I feel that he knows everything that like we're trying to say, and like it's like
Kyle?
Yeah. Well, it's like I was like shove and play this. I was like, that sounds right. He was like, yeah, it is.
Kyle, come here for a second.
Oh, this is why he wanted to do it. This is his dream come true.
I was trying to keep
all
this
is leading up. No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to. This is what you wanted, man.
Just pull the microphone over. Yeah.
Is it this thing?
Kyle yes. Clark.
Hey.
Nerd Turn?
Yeah.
By the way, Nerd Turns is a fucking great show.
Thank you very much.
I'm so excited.
I'm really proud of it.
We're premiering it soon on the Nerdist Channel, and you guys did a great job with it.
Party's this Friday.
Yeah. I'm going to be at Dragon Con. I apologize.
There's so many good things going that night. I'm sort of like, oh, I committed to that thing I'm proud of, but really, I wanted to go see Sleepwalk With Me that night.
Well, I think it's probably not going to be in the theaters after that Friday, so, and they're never going to show it again. So you
showing it all
out.
Weekend.
Yeah,
I got tickets for Monday. I actually accidentally bought tickets for Sunday and forgetting that was the same weekend as FYF Fest.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Again, already.
Yeah, I know, right?
God damn it.
Yep.
Emo Phillips was great last year.
Yeah. It's going to be fun this year. A lot of good bands.
Yeah. So Shut Up and Play the Hits was the LCD Sound
yes,
System.
It was.
And I watch so much of it without sound, which is a weird thing to do for a concert movie.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to have to get on iTunes.
It's funny how it correlates kind of with, because LCD Sound System were together for a good amount of time, but not like, they're not like an old band. And so this is their final show.
But they've been together like 10 years.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to say. Same thing with The Last Waltz, which was the documentary about the last show of the band. And then, but they were only around for 10 years.
I thought it was Christoph Waltz is the last in his family, and it's all about him trying to get someone else pregnant.
Whenever
there's a waltz in a title, yes, we have to make it about Christoph Waltz. LCD, no, you. I think you did it for Take This Waltz, where was the prank show all about Christoph Waltz.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Surprise! There is no Quentin Tarantino movie. Oh, you've got me again.
I keep on showing up.
even just watching Reggie without sound was I'm like, I don't know what's coming out of his mouth, but it looks like it's fucking amazing.
And
whatever
I love
it is,
he does like the hula hoop dance.
Reggie might be the single coolest human being I know.
He's
like,
so nice.
Literally, this thing. Not only nice, but he has a great style. He's one of the most talented people I know. He's funny, super smart.
Yep. Very insightful.
He's a great guy.
Spiritual, nice guy. Very insightful.
He's a guy who finds spirituality in science.
Yeah. Like,
what a great concept.
Yeah.
Reggie's awesome. And seeing
him. He's on some of those Doctor Who specials from last year.
Yeah. He did some of the ones last year. I want to get the documentary so I can see what the fuck it was he was doing on stage. Kyle, I've brought on to just sort of help us out on the show from time to time.
Kyle's a good comic.
Kyle is a good comic. You're funny, Kyle.
We can cut that out, right?
Yes, I would actually prefer
all this.
No.
Kyle's some guy I bring up, though, that I was like, you know, there's these new comics that need to know their place. And you're the name I always cite.
I had a touching moment with Matt last night. He found the first time I ever came to the Meltdown open mic, he had the list from it. The first time I ever came, and there was a check plus next to my name.
Oh, you got a check plus!
Well, you rate the comics?
I did.
Wow.
Literally, his was
Paige Weldon in a circle.
Was it on a scale from
she beat me?
Check plus to check plus plus? How was the open mic last night?
It was fun. I went 30th, and there were Matt and Paul inside.
Well, towards the end of the night now, if we see it sparse, I'll go out and sit in the crowd.
Nice.
The guy last week, there was one guy who brought like 7 people with him.
That was great.
And then he just chose to stay the whole time. And so it was nice because everybody had an audience. And I just felt really bad because I'm just like, oh man, you've still got supportive friends in your comedy career. This is...
When I was doing open mics, I never once told anybody
it's
to show
a dirty
up.
Secret.
I hated
you
it.
You don't want to tell anybody.
No.
You got to tell them when you're performing.
No.
No, thanks.
That was the reason I did music for so long, and I hated having to hand out flyers and try to get people to go. When I realized in stand-up that you can just quietly, you know, fail without having to tell anyone, I was like, oh, this is for me.
Yeah, because in a band, you like to get booked, you got to be someone that, you know... brings people.
Well, there are bringer shows around LA.
I've never touched those.
They're just a bummer.
Never touched those.
They're just a bummer.
Have you done them?
I did Flappers.
They do bringers?
Yeah.
But they have straight.
They have that comedy contest, which is basically like a bringer show with structure. And so, yeah. And they cycle you through. And it's weird because then they just, that's how they make all their money. So they will, like, I was doing regular work there. And then they came back and were like, hey, you want to do the contest again? And I was like, no, not at all.
Flappers is a good club, but just more people need to go to their shows.
I've never been there.
I've never been there either.
I should go.
I've done it a few times. I like it when I do it. But
have you been to the Claremont one?
No.
That is a pile of depressing.
Really?
Because it's in like a craft mall that's closed before the venue opens.
Oh.
So you're just in an empty mall and it's upstairs. So it's just this weird, it's like.
That sounds fun.
The comedy equivalent of like staying at your grandparents' house.
Whenever I hear a mall and comedy, I think of that great bit the Sklars do about their parents arguing on the escalator, leaving a comedy show in St. Louis and they're going the other way. It's just fucking. I wonder, that might be on. Sklar Maps. I think that might be on Sklar Maps.
Claremont, by the way, famously right next to Montclair.
Yep.
The two cities are right next to each other.
Yeah.
And when you pass Claremont, you hit Montclair.
That sounds confusing.
And it's a mirror version of the town, too, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's
like all the right-handed people are left-handed on the other side.
Claremont is Montclair backwards. Oh, my God.
You guys, the sidewalks are made of chocolate, and dogs walk people. Yeah.
There was it there that when they go to Shelbyville.
Because they're not made of chocolate in Claremont.
Oh, okay.
Their fire hydrants are yellow. This is weird.
Are you doing Shelbyville?
Yeah.
It is. It's their Shelbyville.
My name's Milhouse. So this is what it's like when doves cry.
Oh, I love you guys. I love you guys so much. What's happening for the rest of the week for you?
Well, Pete and Pete tomorrow.
Meet and Pete tomorrow. Yeah.
Wednesday is, I think, the return of Kumail at the old Meltdown.
Back from Scotland.
Yeah, he's coming back from Scotland.
So Jonah won't get to say anything.
Yeah, yeah. But then what happened? In Edinburgh?
So the buildings are really old.
Yeah. Then what happened in? Oh. Then FYF Fest this weekend. Good lineup of some bands. Hot Snakes are playing. Quicksand, Dinosaur Jr., Refused.
Are you gonna
Fiddler?
Are Fiddler playing?
I believe so. Yeah,
because like Joyce Manor, who I've known forever and who are my favorite band in Southern California, are playing on it. I'm really excited that people are starting to acknowledge how rad they are.
Yeah,
yeah. Have you ever heard them?
I've seen the name.
Oh, you'd like them. They've got that Midwest sort of melodic punk rock kind of
feel. I missed Tenement, the band that I fucking been touting. I missed them on fucking Saturday night.
I told you about Tenement when you were real drunk at a party like a year ago.
Yeah.
And then I walked into something. I was like, oh, he found Tenement. He has no memory that I really pushed this on him at some point.
No, I have no idea.
I was telling Adam about it.
He doesn't remember meeting me for the first time.
It's true. I don't.
I remember meeting you for the first time.
Yeah. How is that iPod case?
That's really great.
You met me right after a breakup, and I was just fucking gone.
CDR Christmas show.
Yeah, yeah. That was like a week or two after, so I was just in a haze. Yeah. And you, I just don't ever like care about or listen to. So,
are you keeping him in his place?
See,
this feels great.
But see how he laughs when I say it because he knows it's a joke. He doesn't go, "Oh, well," and then have the fucking every listener feel bad for him.
I don't know if making fun of him is really going to strengthen your case at all. Imitating Matt going,
"Well, I was hanging with Hampton Yount, and there's a comic who has a problem with him because Hampton hazes him, and he doesn't get that's funny. And my joke to Hampton about it was, like, if you're a comic and you're mad someone's making fun of you, you misunderstand that someone's paying attention to you. And that's all you want anyways.
Yeah.
Kyle, you're a cunt.
Yeah. I love it.
See?
I remember we were hanging out after a Meltdown show, and then, like, two people were having a ping pong game, and you grabbed their ping pong ball. And I said, Kyle, it's hard to miss you. No one's going to stop paying attention if you don't do something obnoxious. And then I like to think that affected you, but then you continued to.
No, I believe I told you, if they don't see me, I don't exist, Jonah.
Yeah, that's right. But it is hard to miss you. You're a cartoon looking version of me.
It is like a crude caricature.
Yes, yes.
Jonah is Claremont Jonah Ray, and Kyle is Claire Jonah Ray.
Yeah.
Oh, actually.
And you're Pasadena.
The glasses, fuck yourself. The glasses, the plaid shirts, your shirt is brown with some blue stripes, and your shirt is blue with some browns. You guys are fucking mirrors.
Except you may Jonah be the same. Wear flip flops.
Wait a minute, Matt, Myra, you see him too, right?
No.
Oh my God, Matt's just backed away from the microphone.
It's always just been us.
It's always just been you and I.
Oh my God, you guys. Yeah. Chris made me up to make fun of you. It's like a weird a Fight Club situation. Chris like devised me in his head to make fun of you.
Chris put all of his dark elements of himself and created Jonah.
Yeah. Are you going to play that song again? I don't see what the big deal of that thing is. I really don't. It sounds like any other one of those dance
Gangnam Style.
Is it just the fact that
Gangnam Style.
Listen to any dance song coming from South America.
Sexy
That's
lady.
What they all sound like, and you don't understand.
No, they don't, because they're not speaking Korean. Sexy Jonah.
I'm just going to do the Macarena to that song. Matt's completely checked out.
I fucking have work that is happening. While...
Okay, go do your work. We're done.
No.
We're done here.
No, I don't care.
We're wrecked.
No, I'm going to cause a situation where I can remain miserable.
Okay,
if you, didn't fucking just point out that I was looking at emails, then no one would have known, but you had to be a dick and fucking point it out.
What?
Fuck you, Jonah.
I'm here too. Well, you what? You don't like? I'm not.
When is your show?
This argument's better when it's underscored.
Yeah, I have an hour
himself.
Show in 2 hours.
I always forget that you write the entire show.
I write fucking a block of it.
So you guys are sort of the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of the E-Bow, then. That's sort of how this runs.
Well, he's in a different way. Mm-hmm.
Is everyone okay now?
Yeah, I got an email that said I have to do an interview of a guy I don't know who it is that I'm interviewing, and I was just confused, and I looked into it, and then while I looked into it, Jonah pointed it out. Like,
are you saying that there's an obscure person that's being interviewed on Attack of the Show?
I don't need your lip, Kyle.
Hey, let's just know that there's more obscure people being interviewed on X-Play.
It's true.
Sexy Myra! Matt Myra style.
That's not. Those aren't the words.
They are now.
My name in Korean is Matt Myra.
Maybe.
You Maybe give it a is. Week and then you recheck that Nerdist channel. Sexy Myra style.
Oh.
We're going to make it. Well, enjoy your burrito. It's a good place to end.
What are we at?
52?
52? We've
wow,
given them all.
That's enough time.
Enough.
It is.
What?
No.
52
is enough. 52 is enough.
I'm sorry, everyone. I tried to give you 8 more minutes.
Jonah's already insulted 1 billion people on the podcast.
Yeah.
Matt can... Matt, you can go back to work. Sorry.
I feel like if I leave, you'll just keep recording.
I'm not. I have to go anyway. We're not going to keep recording,
Why do you
I promise.
Where are you going?
We're going to shoot. We're shooting Dork Fork today.
Who's we?
The cooking show, the Nerdist Channel.
Yeah, oh.
That's the one that that Alton Brown is guesting on mm-hmm. with the because we're doing our Doctor Who weekend. Doctor Who bowling Friday, August 31st, Saturday the 1st, Dork Fork Saturday 1st, right after
Dork Fork.
Oh, good.
What the fuck just happened?
Jonah just spilled water.
You fell against the window.
No, to back away from the water.
To back away from the water. Right in the crutch.
Oh, man.
That's a cruel joke. The easiest place to spill something on yourself is the same place where it looks like you went pee-pee in your pants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, until you can pee out of your chest, that's the way it's going to happen.
You'll see.
So now I'll be the Jonah counterpart that's not covered in urine.
But shit. And it's on your front somehow.
Front pooping.
Front pooping. All right. All right. You're all released.
Yay.
Go back to your jobs. Your actual jobs.
Wait for it.
Everyone's just sitting there.
We're not leaving until you eject both.
There's no trust here.
Yeah, you're fucking telling us.
And then I want you to not put in another CD and then start recording and thusly making more work for Katie Levine.
You still got pee on you.
The Myra Report is brought to you by a grant from the Chubb Group.
The what group?
The Chubb Group. It's not a fat joke, you guys.
Sure it's not.
I swear to God it's not. The Chubb Group sponsored a lot of PBS programming. I swear to God. Matt, please. I swear. That was the only PBS sponsor that I know. I swear to God. Matt, I swear. I swear. I swear to God, the Chubb Group was not.
No,
it's a fat joke.
Hey, hang in there, Dana Lechtenberg.
Okay. I double that.
Yes.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.